I want to use for a subject today, there's no reason to fear. We look at a few people, tell them there's no reason to fear. You may be seated. Our series that we are in right now, thank you, musicians, y'all, thank you. We are in a series about perfect love. And I want to teach you the best way I know how about love and what love is and what love is not. And I hope that I can do that. Does everyone here have message notes? If you don't have message notes, raise your hands. We'll make sure that you have it. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Those of you who don't have message notes, we're going to make sure you have it at this time. I'm going to do my Kermit while y'all do that. So, why I'm teaching this particular series and this particular, coming out of this particular chapter, is that I'm afraid that we have taught a gospel of fear and a gospel of torment. We have, there was something that happened recently. I didn't plan to get into it today, but I guess I will. And I hope I'm saying his name right, but Jesse Smollett, did I say his name right? Empire. And he had gotten attacked only because of his sexual orientation. They attacked him, and of course, you know, there's still pending investigations on that. But even though that was an outward attack in the streets, we are subject often to verbal attacks from the pulpit. Verbal attacks from denominations where you are only accepted if you do X, Y, or Z. If you look a certain way, if you act a certain way, if you are able to speak in tongues or not, then you are or are not accepted. If you sing my certain type of song, if you preach my certain type of way, we have all these different rules, and people are always wondering what they can do to get God to really love them. Because we teach a gospel that tells you you never really make it. You can have it and lose it. And if you don't live certain ways, it can escape you. Who wants to be a part of a relationship where you're scared if somebody's going to walk out the door every day? Who wants to be in a relationship where you're wondering what you can do to earn your spouse's love? That's an unsettling place to be, where you always go to sleep unsure. John, he writes this, these chapters, and he opens up in this particular chapter, and I don't have the scripture for you, but the first thing he says in this particular chapter, verse 1, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. Hear this, for many false prophets have gone into the world." I want to say this importantly. This is why I'm teaching the word the way I am, because many of us are not able to discern what's real and what's not. We are often sticking our finger out in the wind just to see which way the worship is going, or which way the church is going, or what's the new fad, or what's the new thing, what's the new trending thing. But there are many people who will dress up as anointed and not be called of God. You need to make sure that you have tested the spirit. How do I know this? And I want to tell you, and I've said this before, for many of you all who have received prophecies that are not real, authentic prophecies, anything that is really from God can be backed up by his word. God is not going to send a word through anybody to tell you that somebody else's husband is yours. He's not going to send a word for you to go get a car that you cannot afford. That's right. But we often go around saying, Prophet so-and-so or Pastor so-and-so told me, and now you're trying to live out something that was never from God. And God said, I don't have any obligation to back up what man says, but I will back up what I say. Any prophecy, I remember someone so-called prophesied to me one time, and they said that I was going to be on the cover of Fortune 500 company, and I was going to be designing computers. And I said, that devil lied. He was trying to push me down on the floor, and I would not go. And we went out to Steak and Shake in Frankfurt after that, and Guillaume said, if you would have just fell on the floor. I said, I wasn't giving him no validation. And that's what a lot of people do. You get pumped into submission. Because you are under spiritual bully leadership. Leadership that tries to whip you into shape. That's not the word. Someone say it's not the word. You have to learn how to test the spirit and see if it's of God. And there's nothing wrong with it. I want you to test my word. See if it's of God. Anything that's not of God, try it. I'm not afraid. I'm not above correction. I've told you all many times before that we have overseers over our church to keep me in line, to keep me in check. I know old churches should have a pastor, or I have overseers. There's so much of me that needs to be checked. I have multiple people that can look into my window. And you should run from any leader who cannot be checked. Lord, are y'all ready for this series? John was writing this lesson. He was writing this particular scripture because he was writing it for people who knew about Jesus, but they weren't sure if they knew him. It's a difference. They knew about him, but they weren't sure if they knew him for themselves. So John was writing to them, and he was saying, hey, you need to be able to discern and test if this thing is really real. And he goes on and he talks to them about the love of God. And I'll get into some of the earlier scriptures later. I'm actually going backwards. And he'll talk about the love of things and talk about, beloved, let us love one another. Love is God. And everyone who loves is born of God and love of God, all that type of stuff. But y'all are not ready to talk about your neighbor yet. So I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to talk about you. And talk about how you have a hard time receiving the love of God. Many of you have no problem giving love to other people, but you do have a hard time receiving love for yourself. There's a lot of you who say, you know, you look good. And this is what we do. This is how I know we struggle with this. When somebody says you look good, you be like, oh, this old thing. Or your hair looks good. Oh, girl, I couldn't get it straight. We always want to downplay instead of just receiving it and saying thank you. You don't always have to air out your struggle. I wouldn't know where you had not ironed unless you pointed it out to me. I would have thought you were just doing a fashion trend. But you like, don't you see, my iron wasn't even working. You want to point out your flaws, but you don't have to point out your flaws if God has covered them. Stop giving people permission to go places they don't need to go. I feel like this is helping somebody and I haven't gone any further. Look at someone and say, just cover me. Cover me in that area. 1 John, I'm getting to my notes. 1 John 4:18 says this. There is no fear in love. You don't have to be walking around nervous. There's no fear in love. For perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with torment. And I don't know if there's anybody in here who you were raised in old school religion. I didn't want to give it a denomination. Old school religion. Old school religion was basically based on rules and not relationship. You know how we used to walk across the pulpit, and if you walked across the pulpit, you would get scorned? Because that was supposedly holy ground. If you sat on the front row of the church and you had a short skirt, somebody would come out and be like, you better put a scarf over there because you don't want to tempt the preacher. And we later learned it didn't have nothing to do with the scarf. peeping and hiding. How many of you were raised in that type of thing that you felt like you would go in church and people knew about you before they would just be judging you just on how you looked, how you dressed, and you always felt judged and condemned. I remember when my wife went to a particular church, and my wife, of course, she was raised in church, First Corinthian Missionary Baptist Church, and then she left that church. She got pregnant with our oldest daughter, who is here, Tori. Look at her blinging. Our oldest daughter, Tori. Who my dad to this day thinks that Mel and I met some years ago because Tori looks like me. And I said, Daddy, I wasn't good that long ago. But anyhow, but my wife, she had two children at that time at a younger age, and she finally gave her heart back to Christ. She kind of went around like a lot of us do. It ain't no secret. A lot of us went around the way. And she came back to a particular church, and somebody who knew her from the street said to her, "What you doing here?" That's why I can't preach, because y'all be... I'm sorry for y'all, some of y'all who come to the churches, they don't say nothing. This ain't their church. But they said to her, "What you doing here?" As if she didn't belong. And my wife's not the one. She clapped back and was like, "The same reason you doing here with somebody else's husband." She never had another problem out of that saint. And I'm not trying to make our church hood, even though it is partially. But I want you to be okay with clapping back at people sometimes. Telling them the same blood that saved you is the same blood that can save me. The same grace that got you is the same grace that came to me. Matter of fact, the more dirty you are, the more blood that's needed for your life. Somebody say, "Oh, the blood, oh, the blood." Let me get out of that. For fear has to do with torment. Dr. Emmanuel, pray. For fear has to do with torment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. If you are fearful, you must not know God. You might know the pastor, but you don't know God. You might know the bishop, and you might know the denomination, but you don't know God, because fear has to do with torment. God has to do with love. First point I got for you is this. Number one, love is sacrificial, not self-seeking. It's not on the screen, but it's there. Love is sacrificial. It is not self-seeking. Many of you feel like you are working for love. We're not working for love. We are working from love. Lord, why are y'all trying to get excited? I hadn't got there yet. Y'all like, "I'm trying to work." Thank you. You're trying to work for God to love you. I'm not working for God to love me. It's by grace that I have been saved. It's not of anything that I have ever done. John 3:16, verse 18 says this. Pastor Guillaume, will you grab the microphone real quick? I feel apostolic today. John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 and 18. Will you read that real quick? Verse 16. What's it say? Come on, turn this microphone on. Hold on, come on, come on. Turn this microphone on. Come on, what's it say?
"For God so loved the world that he gave his only son."
Hold on, his who?
Only son.
That means he didn't have another one. Some of y'all are trying to give what you can spare. God gave what cost him something. If you don't miss it, you don't need to sacrifice it. God said, "I'm going to give you something that I'm going to miss." Go ahead, read.
"That whoever believes in him should not perish."
Should not do what?
Perish.
You're not going to walk around tormented. See, y'all don't know about old school church. Y'all like, what? Y'all laughing. This is old school church. Son, shall not perish, but have what?
Have eternal life.
Someone look at somebody and say, "I can't die." It's a scripture that says, "If this earthly tabernacle shall dissolve, I got another building."
I feel like preaching the word. Another building. I ain't got a lot of voice, but I got a lot of word. Another building, eternal in the heavens. Go ahead, read verse 17.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world.
To do what?
Condemn the world.
Some of y'all are condemning people and God ain't. That's what you think church is, condemning people, making people feel bad, calling out people's sins. If he ain't called out yours, why are you calling out other people's? All the screenshots you sending to people, text messages you sending to people, getting on the phone saying, did you hear? What about you? Have I heard about your stuff yet? God did not send him to condemn the world. Some of this type of church ain't for y'all. Some of y'all just like, I'm ready to go, because you are a condemner. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. All right, go ahead. Keep reading.
But in order that the world might be saved through him, whoever believed in him.
Whoever. Now, this word's going to mess off some of y'all. There is no such thing as only a savior for the church. There are some homosexuals who are more saved than you. Well, did he just say that? Yes, I did. Because you want word for it, where sin abounded, grace did more abound. The deeper my sin, the more his grace comes after me. Look at somebody and say, his grace is pursuing me. I'm preaching the word. 18, come on.
Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe, he believe is condemned already.
How are you condemned? Because you don't believe. If there is condemnation, it's because you don't believe, not because of your lifestyle. It's according to your belief. What that means is, no matter what you're in, do you believe that there's better than what you're in? When the prodigal son was wallowing around with the pig, he said, this ain't for me. How did he know it wasn't for him? Because he had a relationship with his father that drew him back to where he once was. He said, let me get myself out of what I'm in. I don't even want a title. I just want to be back with my father again. It's not about the title. It's about the relationship. I want to be in relationship with God. Someone say, I want to be close to him. I want to be close to him. It says he's condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Is this blessing anybody today? I'm going to be through because some of y'all are like, what? First thing, love is sacrificial. It's not self-seeking. Want point two? Good. Love is selfless, not selfish. Let that sit for a second. Love is selfless. It's not looking for what it can get. Love is selfless, not selfish. This is anti some of your personality. Because a lot of us are always wanting to get something. We only have friendships where we gain something out of it. We're always trying to make a deal with somebody. Always have an undercover motive. Some of us join churches not for Christ, but because we want to do a business deal. I heard such and such goes there. I heard so and so goes there. I want to see if I can rub shoulders with them and maybe they can get me a job. This ain't that type of thing. This ain't a network marketing thing. Love is selfless, not selfish. Look at someone and say, Lord, help me. Just say, I need him to help me. I need them to help me. Okay, let's go. 1 Corinthians 13. You ready? Pastor Guillaume, go ahead. Read for the saints.
I speak.
Go ahead. If.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love.
Okay. Some of y'all say, I want you to come to Growth Point. Can't wait till you come onto my church. If you speak in tongues and men of angels and you don't have love, we ain't talking about your church attendance. How loving are you? What's your love barometer? People should know you by how loving you are, not how critical you are. Go ahead. What are you?
I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal.
I can't hear what you say because you sound like mess. I can't hear nothing in your life because all you sound like is mess. And some of y'all are trying to say, I'm trying to have relationships with people, but they can't have a relationship with you because you sound like noise. Just like they irritated y'all, it irritates the people you're connected to. You shout, but you sound like a just like a noisy cymbal. That thing right there that's not connected to these things doesn't make any sense. It has to be in harmony with each other. All right, let's go. Two.
And if I have prophetic powers.
Prophetic powers. Ooh, my, let me prophesy to you. That's, y'all know, it, look, it's dumb. It's what we do. So-and-so has prophetic powers. Go ahead.
And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing.
So you can't walk around and say, I'm a believer. I believe in God. That's wonderful. But you don't have love. How can you have faith for everything? Faith for my job. I laid hands on that car. I know it's mine. I laid hands on my resume. I know it's going to go through. I laid hands on that man. He's going to be mine. All these different things we laid hands on, but you don't have love? Why y'all not shouting like y'all did earlier? Y'all was shouting earlier, and now y'all just like, ugh. Have not love. Go ahead. I'm going to keep going. I'm sorry, Guillaume. If I give away all I have, if I deliver my body to be burned, that means if you get cremated, but have not love, I gain nothing. Go to the next thing. Next scripture. Is that it? Love is patient. Say love is patient.
Love is patient.
Love is kind.
Love
does not envy.
Love does not envy.
Some of y'all have to disconnect all of your social apps now. Because we scroll to envy other people. All these different relationships you look at according to a picture. Everybody can pose. Love does not envy. It is not arrogant. I'm gonna get out of that. It is not rude. It's not that you're not saying the right thing. You might be saying the right thing the wrong way. I want y'all to come back next Sunday, but the way some of y'all looking at me, I don't think you're going to make it to offering. Y'all like, woo. Why is it that the more anointed we are, the more rude we are? Love is not rude. It does not insist. Oh, Lord, I'm going to lose half of y'all now. It does not insist on its own way. I don't have to have my own way. Submission to some of y'all who are going into relationships, the reason you're not in a relationship right now is because I ain't submitting to nobody. Don't look at nobody, just look straight ahead. Like, I don't believe in submission. Submission is not somebody being master over you. Submission is accountability. To say, where I go, you go. We're in sync. What would it look like for you to be dancing one way, me to be dancing the way we dance in sync? It's not about me saying, you can't spin, you can't. No, it's just we have a conversation with each other to be on one accord. I lost you, it's okay. Verse 6 says, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing. What that means is, when you tell me something about somebody else's church, I don't laugh at it. When you tell me a pastor fell, I don't rejoice at that. Because love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. I lost all of my gossipers right there. But it rejoices with the truth. Half the stuff we gossip about, we don't even know if it's true. Verse 7 says, love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Go to the next thing. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Do I have the next thing there? Do I have that? Is that it? But when the perfect comes, perfect love, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Some of the stuff you keep doing is too childish. Children get mad and take their ball and go home. That's childish. Some of the stuff we doing, I don't like it, so I'm leaving. They won't let me sing, so I ain't. I'm just going to sit here. All that stuff we do is childish. Shall we continue drinking milk? Do you need somebody to burp you? How long? How long? At some point, you've got to grow up. Someone said, I got to grow up. I didn't want you to look at your neighbor because they might fight you. So I just want you to say to yourself, I got to grow up. Because if I told you to tell somebody, they're like, who are you talking to? I just want to point to yourself. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I start to grow, I gave up childish ways. So that means when I have aught with somebody, I lay my gift on the altar. And I go to that person and restore first. And then I come back and I pick my gift back up. But some of you and some of us have been operating in unforgiveness and thinking God is on it. You have to learn how to forgive. Let it go and then pick your gift back up. Your gift is not more important than people. You have your gift and your talent for people, not without people. All right, let me go on. 1 John 4 chapter 9 through 10 says, this is scripture. It says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world, there it goes again, so that we might live. Hey, baby, yes. So that we might live through him. Babies can praise too. Verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, sent his son to be the propitiation for us. I know a lot of us sing the song, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just came to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. That's great and it's wonderful. But what about you saying how much God loves you? It's not my relationship with God that's most important versus his relationship with me. His love drew me. We keep confessing, oh, I love him. That's great. But it's really heaven telling you I love you. Because if I didn't love you, I would have killed you. We deserved punishment. But his love said, oh, no, no. I'll take it. I'll pay the price for them. That's why we sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it. Anybody been washed white as snow? Anybody been washed? All right, we talked about love. I'll give y'all two things. Let's talk about fear real quick and I'll be through. I'll drop the mic. Three, fear paralyzes, but faith empowers. Fear paralyzes you. What that means is, fear will grip you to the point that you don't want to do anything. It'll make you stop believing. It'll stop you dead in your tracks and paralyze you. You'll start to fear things. Ephesians 1st chapter 13 through 14 says this. Are y'all okay with all this word today? I hope y'all okay. Oh, I feel like I'm really, really committed to teaching the word. Not that I wasn't before, but a lot of us are just growing up on sensationalism and no word. Ephesians, the first chapter, 13 to 14 says, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth. Are y'all happy y'all got the word of truth here? I mean, I'm not saying it's me, but I'm talking about the word of truth. I'm not preaching blackish. Y'all like, what? I'm talking about a sitcom. I'm not preaching any of that. I'm preaching the truth. The gospel of your salvation and believed in him. This is the part right here that I want to say to Singleton. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to lose some of you right here because this is something called sovereign grace. Some of you all have been taught that it is what you do that keeps you saved. You've been taught that if you do wrong, that you are going to lose your salvation. Anybody been taught that? I don't know. We have been taught that if you do wrong, he don't love you no more. You need to get saved again. And we even say that when it talks about getting filled with the Holy Ghost, we say somebody needs to be filled again. We always getting a refill. I need a refill. All that stuff. Always getting a refill on something. But this scripture says this. We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. What does sealed mean? That means when God seals something, he locks it. No matter what you do, you cannot unlock what God has locked. He has locked my salvation so much so that even if I go to the pit of hell, his love will go after me. When you look at somebody and say, I'm locked, I'm locked. Aretha said, I'm signed, sealed, delivered. I'm his. There is nothing you can do that can unlock me. Is this helping you? Stop walking around thinking that he's going to take his salvation away from you. Now hear this. I want to explain this because some of you will leave and take that and run with it. When I got saved, my spirit was eternally saved. My body has not been. My soul is still being. Explain it again. When I got saved, my spirit, no matter what happens, my spirit is eternally saved. My body is not. My soul is still being. What that means is spirit is fine because it's his. He breathed into me pneuma, breath of life. His breath is perfect. My soul got some issues. My soul is my emotions. Sometimes I clock on people because I'm still being saved. Saved means I'm still being delivered. If you catch me on the wrong day, I might give you a little neck action because I'm still, look at somebody, I'm still being, he's working on me. He's working on me. Come on, James Cleveland, he said, please be patient with me. God is not through with me. I'm still a work in progress. I don't always have it right. My wig ain't all right today. I'm sorry. I'm being worked on. Somebody say I'm being worked on. My soul is being worked on. And because my soul is being worked on, my body don't always get the memo. Because sometimes my body goes places that my spirit don't want to be in. Sometimes my body drinks stuff that my spirit is not pleased with. I smoke things in my spirit. I'm sorry, Mr. Leon, that got up and started walking around the church. I'm sorry. Sometimes there are things in me that are still being worked on. I'm going to say this. I got to get out of here. I don't know. I feel like this is freeing somebody. I wish I had more voice than I got. Thank y'all, microphone. But what I feel like, some of y'all feel like you got to apologize for being worked on. If you would tell the truth, all of us got something that God is still working on, and it's okay. Religion has taught us to put on a nice dress and to look okay. You're lying. You might as well come out of here in the stuff you had on and just come in pajamas and say, he's still working on me. That's what religion and church has taught us, to dress up so we can look all dignified. But the Bible says, in sin, my mother conceived me. So you want to be all the way real? I'll take you back to cognac. I'll tell you what happened that night. Let's get it on. I tell you what was really going on when I got here. Somebody said I wasn't always saved. And to be truthful, I'm still being delivered. I'm still working on stuff my anger hadn't got worked on yet. I'm one fight away from knocking somebody out if he don't deliver me. The supervisor comes around me one more time. I'm like, look. Don't get it twisted. All right. All right. All right. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee. It's a financial word. He's the guarantee of the, he's a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. I got to get out of there because I stayed there longer. Ephesians 2nd chapter verse 8 through 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. He gave it to you. He didn't ask for nothing. He just gave it to you because he's selfless. What he was saying is, I know you're still working on something, but I want to love you so much, I want to give you a gift before you get it together. We give people gifts after they've accomplished something. He gives you gifts while you're still working on it. What I'm saying to you right now, throw your own party while you're still working on it. Say, Lord, it's been 3 days since I cussed. Let me have a party. It's been 4 days since I gambled. Let me throw a party. It's been 5 days since I've been on that browser. Let me throw a party. Learn how to celebrate every victory you have in your life. Don't wait on nobody else to celebrate you. Celebrate your own self. Nine says, it's not a result of works that no one can boast. I can't boast. Right. It's not, you know, I fasted for 40 days. That's why I got it. It don't have nothing to do with that. It's by grace. All right, last point. I'm going to do good, Brandon. I am. Last point. Fear grips, but faith grows. Fear will grip you. I told y'all that. It'll grip you to the point that you feel like you can't breathe. And some of you are living your life like that, that you feel like you can't live because your past keeps gripping you. You're so afraid of what you were that you feel like becoming what he made you. You feel like your past is gonna creep up on you at some point. So you stay away from relationships, stay away from serving in the church because you don't want your past life to creep up on you. So you live in fear. So instead of you growing, you were just like, you know, I remember Damone said this one time to me years ago when we first started. I can't believe I'm even saying years ago, but I remember when we started, he said, you know, I don't know if I can be a part of the church. I said, why? He said, because I don't see a group for the nasty people like me. And I said, well, let's start a group called Nasty People Like Me. Because what he was saying is, we always want to tell the political truth. He saved me from a burning hell, set me up on a rock to stay, turned me around, picked me up, placed my feet on solid ground. We say churchy stuff. Why don't you talk about what you rolled up? Talk about what you would drop. Talk about the real stuff. Because you are really, if you would start telling the real truth, you'll find out there are more people who are struggling with the same thing if you would just tell the truth. That doesn't mean that doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means they need somebody to identify with. Tell them it's only been 6 months since I've been clean. It's only been 7 months, but he's still working on me. I go to a group, it helps me. That's why I go to a group for accountability. I'm working on this thing, and it's okay for you to say that, but fear will grip you into making you think you're the only one. 2 Timothy 1st chapter verse 7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. I want to teach that real quick because some of the things you fear is a spirit. You're fearing people, It's really a spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. What you need to learn how to do is speak to the spirit that's troubling you. Give that spirit a name. What is it? Suicidal spirit, I cast you down. Depression spirit, I cast you down. Depression is not a person, it's a spirit. Suicide is not a person, it's a spirit. Anger is not a person, it's a spirit. Speak to that spirit and say, spirit, line up with the spirit of God. God, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, a power, and a sound mind. Is this helping anybody? We learn how to grow. It's my last scripture here. Matthew 6, chapter, verse 25 through 33. I'm sorry I didn't holler around today. Matthew 6, chapter 25 says this. Therefore, I tell you, Lord, help the people. Do not be anxious. Say it one more time. Do not be anxious about your life. Some of y'all were anxious this morning. I don't know what I'm going to eat today. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. My daughter's gone, so I can talk about her. My daughter was having the hardest time today because she just couldn't find what to wear. She was having a hard time. Like, I don't know what I'm going to wear. I said, Tori's going to be all right. No, it's not. I said, yes, it is. What's funny to me is a lot of people complain and say, I don't have nothing to wear. But you crawl through five different outfits before you decided you don't have nothing to wear. Really having nothing to wear is when you don't have anything and you have to make up outfits so people don't know you're wearing the same thing. Is there anybody in the room that you wore the same dress five different ways just so people wouldn't know that that's the only dress you got? The church said we're wearing black again. Again, Lord have mercy. Black and white again, and you had to find different ways to make it work. He said, don't be anxious for that, for more than food, for the body, for the air. Verse 26 says, and this is it. I hope this helps you grow. This is why it says faith grows. Look at the birds of the air. Do you ever see a bird sitting on a telephone pole crying? Like, tweet, tweet. You know, sitting there crying. I don't know if he's going to feed me today. Tweet, tweet. You don't ever see a bird having an anxious moment because they wake up knowing that he's going to provide. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. What that means is they don't even give an offering. They don't even come up here and wear clerical attire. They don't do nothing. All they do is tweet. They just walk around. The birds, he said, they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them? Some of y'all are worried about a bill you hadn't even got here yet. You worried about Wednesday. I don't want to be cut off. I don't know what I got to do between now and Wednesday to make ends meet. Just walk around. Tweet. Tweet. Get off Twitter and just tweet. Tweet. If God cares about the sparrow, do you not think he cares about you? Go to my next scripture, my next verse. It says, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? How much is being worried helping you? You stayed up all night. Where did that get you? Just tired? Nothing happened. You just wore out. And the first thing you do when you get to work, how was your weekend, girl? Wore me out. Wore me out. And then some of y'all say, I can't wait till Friday. Why? Because all you're going to do is worry all weekend. Yeah. How much of you can add it? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon and all of his glory was not arrayed like any of these. Go to the next scripture. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more, how much more will he not clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. What that means is, and I'm through here. What that means is, I'm through, Kevin, Akina. What that means is, You should have areas in your life that you have seen God move so much that it adds to your faith. I remember Mama Donna said this one time before. I tried to make it through a whole message without saying your name. I did very good. She said one time, she said, I'm not concerned about being broke anymore because I've already conquered that. The reason y'all quiet, because you ain't conquered it yet. There comes a point in your life where you say, Lord, I don't want to keep praying about that anymore. I want to conquer that so I can move on to something else. You add faith to your life to say, I've seen him come through too many times for me to be worried about that. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. Look at somebody and say, I know he's going to do it. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Go to the next scripture. It says, why? But the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you need something added to you, seek him first. Let your faith grow. I feel like coming to America. Let your faith grow. I don't have a voice. Let your faith grow. Look at somebody and say, let your faith grow. Let it grow. Now, when he said, oh, you little faith, now I want to help you right here. Let your faith grow doesn't mean that there are levels of faith. Weak faith, strong faith, middle faith. No, that means my faith, as I continue to add to it, it starts to believe more. You could start saying, Lord, you know, I have faith for a job. Well, once you get the job, all right, Lord, I have faith for promotion. You get promoted. Lord, I got faith. I have faith to own a company. You open a job. Lord, I have faith to employ people. Faith is really growing. I have faith to build my own house without a down payment. I have money for it. And you start growing. So you know what? I have faith to give away houses now. And then you start growing. Lord, I have faith to. It keeps growing. You should be able to look down your life and say, my faith has increased. Can anybody say that in your life? My faith is increasing. Last point is this. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 7 says, why even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Some of y'all are having a problem. He's talking about which hair? The hair I brought or the hair I was born with? Even the hairs on your head are numbered. It says, fear not. Your hair is even more valuable than the birds. Everybody stand to your feet all over the building. I'm going to leave y'all with that because I've messed y'all up. Bishop Jake says this. He says, resist your fear. Fear will never lead to a positive end. Go for your faith and what you believe. Hallelujah. If you enjoyed the word today, will you give God a praise all over the room?
I pray that you enjoyed the message today. Do me a favor, like and subscribe and share our channel so that we can reach people that we couldn't reach without you. I really thank you for doing that. Thank you for helping us to share Growth Point to families and homes all across the world. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.